All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our board meeting of October the 8th. I'm going to turn it over to President David Malkin.
Good evening, it's October 8th, 2020, and I call the regular board meeting of the Rolling Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:30. Dr. Mitchell, can we have roll call?
Yes, Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
All board members are present.
Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda for the regular board meeting of Thursday, October 8th, 2020?
I'll move.
Second.
Any discussion? Having no discussion, I'll have roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so the motion carries to adopt the agenda. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
None have been received.
Okay, if none have been received, therefore it is now 4:32 and we're recessed to closed session. Thank you very much.
I just never thought it'd be like this. Intel, I get it.
So it looks like we have everybody present. Okay, is everybody present then?
Sorry, I'm just double checking.
It looks like it.
I believe that we do have all of our board members are present. We are ready when you are, Mr. Malkin.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. We have returned to open session at 6:04. All in attendance will be led to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Anjali Tortola from Jellick Elementary School, a student there. I hope I said her name right.
Anjali, go ahead and begin to lead us in the pledge. You can unmute.
Hi, my name is Anjali Tortola, and I'm a proud Jellick Jaguar. Now, may we please all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And is it on Holly? Is that right? Thank you very much. There is a closed session report tonight, and on a motion of five, on a motion made by, let me get my notes here. A motion, it was made by what, Ms. Friedman?
Yes.
And seconded by Ms. Pride, and a vote of 5-0, 5-0, the Board of Education education, the promotion of Dr. Kevin Despard to the position of Director of Human Resources with a start date to be determined. The vote of the board was as follows. Carrie C. Chen, yes. Lynn Ebenkamp, yes. Donna Friedman, yes. David M. Malkin, yes. And Angelina M. Pride, yes. Congratulations, Dr. Despard. On our reports tonight, Jellick Elementary School is going to be our spotlight report. Jellick Elementary School Principal Dr. Stalmont, along with staff and students, will provide a brief report highlighting what is going on in their school. Dr. Stalmont.
Good evening, Mr. Malkin, and our board members. Dr. Mitchell, our cabinet, and our families and viewers out there. We have something special for you, spotlighting our wonderful Jaguars, the work that they're doing. And anyway, we thought we'd make it as simple as possible and have a video for you so that way we could move forward with it as quickly as possible and not have as many hiccups with technology that that we seem to have. So I'll go ahead and hand it over to the wonderful tech team and Gina. Thank you.
Good evening, President Malkin, members of the board, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, and the Roland community. I am John Stalma, and I am a proud Jellick Jaguar. My goal is to give you just a taste of the hard work and dedication of our teachers, support staff, and students, what they do during this period of virtual learning. At Jellick, we work hard to get every child to their next level and beyond. Whether it's our instructional focus in balanced literacy using readers and writers workshop, sports, or behavior, we want to take every child from their point A and get them to their point B. We are working in a virtual classroom and environment. This is unlike any other time in history. Our instruction is completely different from in-person instruction. Our sense of connection is diminished through technology, and we lose our ability to listen, to interact with students like before. Our screens limit our ability to see and observe our students' interactions, to sense their body language, read the room. Yet, we move forward. We continue to work to get to our next level. We use our role and framework for teaching and learning to align it with our instructional focus and work in the virtual classroom. We continue to teach behavior as well. Our PBIS efforts have shifted to a virtual environment and are as critical now as before. We are helping our parents in our virtual environment as we have completely redesigned our webpage to support online enrollment, connect parents with teachers' email and classroom schedules, communicate schedules, parent meetings, and PTA involvement. We still have a lot more to do, but many of our parents have already expressed appreciation for this resource. We even have a virtual school library to support our reading focus and are handing out books to our students every Wednesday.
Hello, everyone. This is Mrs. Buck, and I am proud to be a Jellick Jaguar sixth grade teacher. We wanted to thank the board for supporting us in the classroom with educational subscriptions such as Padlet. Padlet allows us to share and celebrate all the wonderful things our Jellick Jaguars are doing in Reader's Workshop and Writer's Workshop. We also wanted to let you know we are continuing on with some of our traditions that are not only in the classroom, but beyond the campus and, well, beyond our Zooms. So we asked our students to go out into their community and support the 2020 census with the LA County of Ed Chalkathon. And then we participated in September with the International Dot Day, where students did activities based on the book by Peter Reynolds, The Dot. And we enjoyed watching our students be super creative for the 5th annual participation in the Global Cardboard Challenge. And we had our students post their wonderful projects on Flipgrid. But that's not all. We've asked a couple of our Jellick Jaguar students to join us and let you know a couple more things that we're doing to keep our traditions alive and well during remote learning. Okay, Vincent, your turn.
Hello, my name is Vincent Gee, and I am proud to be a Jellick Jaguar. This year we have started a Jellick Chess Club for all of the Jaguars who enjoy a good game of strategy. We meet at their school on Zoom and play against students in other classrooms who we don't usually get to see anymore. Once we join the Zoom, Ms. Box sends us off to play chess on a Google slideshow against an opponent. One thing is really cool is we invited students who do not know how to play chess. Once we get a lot of students playing, we were thinking about inviting students from other schools in Roland District to come and play too. This should be a fun club for this year.
Hello everyone, my name is Azul Alvarado and I'm proud to be a Jellick Jaguar. You can imagine how sad we are not having sports teams this year. Every year we have so much fun playing sports against teams from other schools in the Roland District and have exciting championships games for each sport. This year, instead of meeting in person, Mr. Macedonio is hosting the Jellick Esports Club after school. We are competing against each other with fun and active Zoom competitions. We might even invite other schools to join us on the Zoom later on. That way we can be strong and ready for sports when we return to school and be ready to compete with our friends at other schools too.
Good evening, my name is Tracy Doe and I am proud to be a Jellick Jaguar. I am the instructional coach at Jellick Elementary. When we were in brick and mortar, my role was to support teachers in best practices for reading and writing, connect our professional development with the goals of our school site, and support teachers in looking at student data to move our students forward. Overall, my role was to bolster the level of instruction for our teachers and students. As we are virtual this year, my role remains the same, but just with a pivot towards virtual instruction. Teachers continue to grow professionally through the professional developments offered within our site, as well as at the district level. Such PDs have helped us support our students in the virtual classroom with the four C's in place: care, compassion, connection, and content. While I support teachers in pivoting our instruction virtually, my most important role right now is keeping instruction centered on our site's core values, which is the belief that we are readers and we are writers. Our goal remains the same: to help our students level up. I have to commend our teachers for following the Jaguars Never Quit mantra during this time. Our transition to virtual teaching would not be possible without the support of our administrators and board members. Thank you for your time.
Regardless of our circumstances, whether virtual or back in the classroom, our Jaguars are hard at work becoming readers and writers and showing our Cubs wherever we go. I would like to thank the RUSD Board of Education, our district leadership, and the faculty, staff, students, and families for making Jellick a great place. We are readers, we are writers, Jaguars never quit.
Thank you very much for all of your support. We could not have done it without the tremendous support again from the board, from our district leadership, and our faculty, our staff, and our families. So our students are successful because of all of us working together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stallmont. I would say that's a roaring good presentation, but I don't know if Jaguars roar or not. It sounded.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're now going to go to the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, we already did that. You got me all excited with these Jaguars. I'm going to go to Dr. Mitchell. Going to the superintendent's report. Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Malkin. Starting off my report this evening, I would like to acknowledge the action that our board took in closed session to promote Dr. Kevin Despard to the position of Director of Human Resources, express our congratulations, and invite him to come forward and say a few words as he takes on this new position and this new role. As most of you know, Dr. Despard has served in our district as a principal, most recently as our Director of Student Services, and at a date still to be determined, he will switch hats and serve as the Director of Human Resources. Dr. Despard, would you like to say a few words?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to say thank you to the board, or President Malkin and the rest of the board, for their confidence in me to serve in this new capacity. I also want to thank Dr. Zamora for guiding me and helping me grow as a leader the past few years, and I'm looking forward to working with Mr. Bixler in this new position. I'm excited to start the new role, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Kevin, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Continuing on with my report, I would like to also recognize the work of our Nutrition Services team. The Nutrition Services team at Roland Unified has proudly served approximately 158,200 meals to the students of Roland Unified and children in our community since the start of the school year in August. Our dedicated team of 80 staff members continue to work relentlessly to serve families on a weekly basis by providing 7 days worth of meals to every child every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Due to demand, the district has expanded our pickup locations to 13 school sites. Currently, we are serving a total of 42,000 meals across the district every distribution day. Meals such as chicken and waffles for breakfast and yesterday's turkey and gravy continue to be favorites. Next week, October 12th to the 16th, is National School Lunch Week, and a variety of festivities are planned. Again, I really greatly appreciate the efforts of our Nutrition Services team in providing the much needed meals for our students and in our community. And that was not an error. That is 7 days worth of breakfasts and lunches. So through the Seamless Meal Program, our Nutrition Services is now providing meals for the weekends. Again, distribution happens once a week on Wednesdays. Also, as a district, I wanted to share that we are excited to launch two new family outreach efforts to support virtual learning. The first one, called Tech Fights with Brandy Miller, will be short, informative, how-to sessions to troubleshoot basic technology challenges of, you know, what can I do if my camera doesn't turn on or my device isn't working correctly, with our technology TOSA, Brandy Miller. This is aimed at supporting our parents as they support their children at home during virtual learning. It launches on October 21st at 10 a.m. Another new meeting is designed for our grandparents, because we know that many of our children's grandparents are helping support learning at home as well as caregivers during virtual learning. This one's called Go Go Grandparents. This informative session will discuss basic technology issues at a pace designed for our grandparents and provide ample time for question and answers that is going to be provided by retired RUSD teachers. The first session will be October 28th at 10 a.m. Translations will be available at both of these events. Also, as we look forward, Adopt and Shop, if we believe it or not, the holidays are around the corner, and our Family Resource Center is already preparing for this year's Adopt and Shop for our RUSD families in need. Information will go out next week for our community. I wanted to also say and share that elections are right upon us. They're right around the corner. And as part of the Los Angeles County Safe Elections Plan, in Los Angeles County, there will be 790 voting centers. 130 of those voting centers will be open for an extended 10-day period of time prior to and up to the November 3rd election. All 790 are open from October 30th to November 3rd. In addition to the 790 voting centers across Los Angeles County, there are 400 drop-off ballot locations. Voting centers will also serve as drop-off ballot locations. So mail in, drop off, or vote in person. Local to our district, there are 10 school sites that will serve as voting centers from October 30th to November 3rd. The locations are Blandford Elementary, Hollingworth Elementary, Jellick Elementary, Killian Elementary, Nogales High School, Roland Elementary, Roland High School, Oswald Academy, Shellen Elementary, and Alvarado Intermediate School. Again, Election Day is November the 3rd, and Los Angeles County Registrar's Office has worked tirelessly to provide opportunities for our community to get out the vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. And a lot of people might not realize that the schools, besides providing an educational service, we're one of the main providers of meals for our students in our communities. So, that's a lot of meals, and I really thank Dietary Services for Nutritional Services for providing those meals to our community. It really helps, because there's a direct link between the meals that the children get, nutrition, and their grades and their behavior. So it all works together between all the staff. So thank you, Nutritional Services. Next, we'll have the student representative reports. Our first one will be from Santana High School. It'll be Mel Garcia.
Perfect, Mel. You can go ahead and unmute and begin your report.
Okay. Good evening, board members and Dr. Mitchell. Santana's ASB would like to extend our best wishes to you and your families during this pandemic. We hope you are all well and that you and your loved ones remain healthy and well. Santana has been busy preparing for our WASC visit, which will take place October 26th, 28th. We look forward to welcoming the WASC visiting team to our classes and focus groups so they can see the wonderful programs that Santana has to offer its students. Our back-to-school night will take place October 22nd. This will be a time when our parents and guardians can come and hear each teacher explain how their classroom operates, especially now that we're working in virtual classrooms. It is also a time for our parents to get any answers to any questions that they have. ASB has been hard at work with fundraisers. We had a Halloween mask made to sell. We sold all of our Halloween masks in 3 days. Now we are having iridescent reflective masks made to sell. They should be ready in about a week, and we're hoping they will sell out quickly. ASB has also taken on the task of award recognitions. Before the pandemic, each month, Santana had an award assembly where teachers could recognize those students who have gone above and beyond in their attitude and hard work. Because we are now virtual, we do not have these award assemblies. So ASB asked if they could give out the awards individually to those students who are working above and beyond their peers with their attitude and hard work. With permission from teachers, ASB students enter into classrooms to surprise these standout students for their effort and excellent work ethic. We enjoy doing this and hope it brings joy to these students and their teachers. ASB would like to thank all of you for your hard work, making sure that we stay healthy and at the same time receive our education. We are grateful for the computers and hotspots that you have generously supplied us, the lunches that are offered, and along with so much more. Thank you for caring about not only the students at Santana, but all of the students and their loved ones in the Roland family. I hope all of you have a good evening.
Thank you, Mel. That was really beautiful. And thank you for doing that presentation tonight.
Of course.
Our next school will be Nogales High School, and Daniel Vincentino will be the representative. Is Daniel there?
So this presentation will be done through Visio presentation, and Gina will get it started for us.
Hi, I'm Daniel Vicenteño. I am the senior class president at Nogales High School. For today's board meeting, I will be going over any college, financial aid, AP, and general ASB information. Starting off with college, our counselors at our school are giving out help for college applications every Wednesday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., as well as any financial aid advice that we might need or parents might need is being given out through emails, or as well as our counseling team has created an Instagram account for students to access it a lot easier. Our community liaison has been hosting Zoom calls for the parents as well, just to help out with Aries, Clever, any social media platform that the school has provided, so they're able to equip the parents to help the students do better this school year. Our first virtual honors award night was hosted last night, as well as the AP teachers have been doing an outstanding job at signing up their students on College Board and been giving them help and just been teaching the best they could with the circumstances at hand. Now, with general ASB information, Club Rush was a success last week. Our club advisor is outstanding. She's been giving out information to both the ASB directors, the general student body, and the information is just there and on time and on point. That is all that I have for you guys today, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Daniel, for that presentation. The next one will be from John A. Roland High School. It'll be JoJo Singh. Is JoJo there?
Good evening, Mr. President.
There he is.
Superintendent Dr. Mitchell and members of the audience. My name is Joseph Singh, and I am the Speaker of the House for Roland High School. Since the last time I spoke, Roland High School has continued to offer its students safe virtual activities. From September 16th through the 30th, our annual Club Fair Day was replaced with the virtual Club Crush Week. An overview video was shown during our Wednesday homeroom class, offering information on the new process. An interactive Google slide presentation allowed over 50 clubs at Roland to promote themselves. Each club posted introduction videos on a designated slide, and the presentation was then hosted on the school website and on social media platforms. All clubs will continue to operate virtually with club meetings chaperoned by advisors, as well as many online activities. Free McDonald's cheeseburgers were handed out at our September senior cheeseburger event, which took place on Wednesday, September 23rd. Seniors were allowed to drive through the Roland High School parking lot and receive a cheeseburger from Mr. Whitley and Ms. Spates. In honor of September being National Suicide Prevention Month, peer counseling and ASB provided opportunities for students to learn about mental health. During the Wednesday homeroom classes, videos were shown providing a short message of encouragement to raise awareness of mental health issues and to give information on where to get help. Moving forward to the month of October, this Saturday, October 10th, is World Mental Health Day. An informational video about symptoms, what you can do to help others, and where you can get help yourself will be uploaded to the Google Classrooms as well as to the Rowland website. Administrator Week will be set for next week, October 12th to the 16th. Students will be able to show their appreciation for their administrators through thank you poems, appreciation songs, thank you videos, and personalized e-flyers. Following that week will be Character Awareness Week, which will take place from the 19th to the 23rd. ASB will promote fairness, respect, trust, responsibility, and family through videos on social media and virtual activities. Each character trait will be represented by a color where students will be encouraged to wear that color on a certain day, take a picture, and send in a picture to be entered into a contest. This year, Distracted Driving Awareness Month was introduced, and we have combined our Character Awareness Week with National Teen Driver Safety Week. We will provide virtual activities to emphasize driver safety alongside our character awareness activities to show students that having good character can impact different aspects of their life. The last week of October is Red Ribbon Week, themed Be Happy, Be Brave, Be Drug Free. Students will dress up during their Spirit Week and compete in our annual homeroom competition. Videos on social media, virtual activities, and information about drug abuse will also be posted throughout the week to raise awareness. To conclude that week, a virtual Halloween rally will take place featuring online performances from choir, Rowland dance, and cheerleaders, and will feature online contests and games. This will be our first attempt to have a rally online, so we are looking forward to its success. A Halloween costume contest will also be held virtually with students sending in pictures of their costumes, with staff members judging those costumes, and the winners will receive a prize. Our seniors are still deciding on what their October event will be. They're considering playing a movie over Zoom or a drive-through candy buffet. We will keep you posted on their decision. In all, students at Rowland have remained resilient and continue to be examples of thinkers, communicators, and contributors. We are hopeful of returning to school in the near future, and ASB continues to remain persistent in trying to give our students the best high school experience we can give them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Joseph. You know, amazing to me that these students went from giving presentations at our board meetings to doing it virtually now, and then it's made the transition with no problem at all. I think adults have more problems, and they just go ahead and they carry out their activities and continue just like it's so seamless. It's just amazes me. Our next section is our staff report from next we will have a staff report providing an update on the 2020-2021 school year. And for this, I'll turn it over to Dr. Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell?
Perfect, thank you very much. I'm gonna share my screen. Go ahead and get started. So again, thank you very much. I would just like to take a few minutes to provide an update. As you recall, when we had a meeting back in the summertime in July, I had shared that we would be reevaluating and reassessing our virtual classroom model when we came to the midpoint of this first semester. So we are there. Tomorrow is the end of our secondary school's quarter. And so I wanted to provide the board with an update and some information. So we continue to follow the California Department of Public Health recommendations. So California Department of Public Health has shared the different measures, both general as well as specific measures for safety within our schools. And so that has not changed. They do provide updates, but that information has remained consistent. We also have our Los Angeles County Department of Public Health has reopening protocols for our K-12 schools. Again, those remain consistent and are updated very regularly. I have the opportunity to meet with and talk with Dr. Ferrer, who is the director of Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, on a weekly basis, and she provides information and updates to all LA County superintendents, again, on a weekly basis. You all will recall that when we opened our school year in August, we opened in an all virtual classroom format. That was based on, at the time, the governor held a press conference on July 17th, and where at that point it was introduced about the monitoring list, and counties needed to be off of the monitoring list for 14 consecutive days prior to being able to open in in-person instruction. At the time, in August, when we opened our schools, Los Angeles County was not off of the monitoring list, and therefore all schools in Los Angeles County opened in an all virtual format. In looking and moving forward, some of that has changed, and I'll cover that in just a minute. Since the opening of school, or the preparation of opening school, just an example of some of the actions that have been taken. There's been professional learning for staff to refine and publish professional learning that's available for our staff for teaching and embracing the virtual classroom learning environment. Many of our staff members have participated in some of the ISTE models to be able to, again, feel more comfortable providing instruction in a virtual format. We've done device as well as supplies or materials distribution to our students to support learning at home with devices, including Wi-Fi hotspots as needed, all the textbooks, as well as student supplies. So as you have the opportunity to visit classrooms and so forth, you'll see that students have their individual whiteboards, they have the supplies and the materials, and our staff worked together to compile those and then distribute them to our students in a drive-through distribution process so that they could have what they needed to learn from home. Parent learning and communication. We have been communicating with our parents as well as providing parent learning opportunities. We've had our Well-Being Wednesdays. Yesterday was the second session of Well-Being Wednesdays. Tonight in my report I shared, we'll have Tech Bites to help our parents with some technology pieces, and Go-Go Grandparents to help our grandparents or other caregivers as well, help support students learning at home. Following recommendation and the monitoring list, on August 28th of 2020, that monitoring list plan changed. So Governor Newsom unveiled the blueprint for a safer economy, which changed the monitoring list criteria for reopening schools. So in looking at that, there is a website. It's covid19.ca.gov, Safer Economy, and it does share information about the blueprint for a safer economy. In looking at that blueprint, there are four different tiers. And in order for schools to open, you must be in the red tier, which is substantial. It's the second one that's there. It's a little confusing. It's a total of 28 days, but in the purple, so widespread, which is where Los Angeles County is now, you stay in your higher tier, or it's a lower number, but you'd stay in the tier, the most restrictive tier, while you carry the numbers of the lower tier for 14 days. If they maintain consistency, then you go into the lower tier, have to stay there for an additional 14 days before you could consider reopening. This is the data from this Tuesday, October the 6th. Los Angeles County has an adjusted case rate per tier assignment per 100,000 of 7.4. It needs to be 7 or below in order to move from the purple tier numbers to the red tier, so from widespread to substantial. The positivity rate is good in Los Angeles County, and that would put us into actually the orange or moderate range. However, both of these data points, the adjusted case rate for a tier assignment, which is the number of cases per 100,000, as well as the positivity rate, must both be in the red tier or tier number 2 for 14 days before Los Angeles County would be able to move into that red tier. And then it must maintain those numbers for an additional 14 days before we could consider reopening. These numbers are evaluated and posted every Tuesday. So they are not monitored on a daily basis, they are monitored on a weekly basis. So in terms of looking at the next date that we would have would be on October the 13th. The numbers will post again, and we'll be able to see where Los Angeles County is as it relates to the adjusted case rate as well as the positivity rate. So based on where we are at this point and evaluating again at the quarter as shared we would do in the summer, the recommendation is to remain in the virtual classroom model through winter break, which is December 18, 2020. Due to the current status of the Los Angeles County being in the purple or widespread tier, again, it's recommended that our school district remain in the current virtual classroom model through winter break. We are not able to open now, should we even wish to, because we remain in purple as a county. And again, the earliest being that if now all numbers were very positive and going in the correct direction, which is going down, the earliest we would be able to consider opening would be November the 11th. That brings us very close to Thanksgiving and then also very, very close to winter break. So it is the recommendation that we remain in virtual classroom through winter break. While remaining in the virtual classroom model, it is also recommended that we develop options to provide for in-person one-to-one assessments for students with special needs. We are working through that process now in looking to see how we can provide that. Also, it is recommended that we create options for our athletic teams to begin in-person conditioning in accordance with the guidance for athletic teams provided by the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. Additionally, define and implement protocols to open our community education and recreation programs to provide outdoor youth recreation programs in our community, again, in accordance with Los Angeles County Department of Public Health guidelines. To explore options for student participation in our senior seminar program to engage in in-person internship experiences. We have a number of students, approximately 60 students that are participating in our senior seminar program. And a big part of that is allowing our students to have internships. Some of our students are currently doing virtual internships, but some of the career explorations that our students are most interested in would benefit more greatly, or and some of them are only available in an in-person option. So that is an interest and a recommendation. We explore options for our students to participate in those in-person internship experiences. Further, to continue to closely monitor the California blueprint and local metrics, as well as guidance from health officials at the California and the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. Again, we're in constant communication. And then as permitted by local metrics and health authorities, prepare for reopening to in-person instruction in January 2021 following our winter recess. Again, we will continue to closely monitor those numbers and closely work with our health authorities as well while we are preparing for opening with the goal, pending that numbers are where they need to be and we are permitted to open to in-person instruction in January 2021. That would include having all safety and health precautions put into place, as mentioned at the very beginning of the presentation, that have already been known and shared by the California and Los Angeles County Departments of Public Health. I would be remiss if I didn't also share and make sure that the board was aware that there is a school waiver program that is open. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors voted last week for the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health to begin to open a school waiver program for in-person instruction in grades TK through 2. The application window opened on this past Monday, October the 5th. There are a very limited number of applications, 30 schools in the county per week, and with priority being to schools with higher percentage of students who qualify for free and reduced meals. And again, there are a number of different, very specific criteria in the waiver process that is needed to be handled or dealt with prior to being able to submit a waiver, and then it would be determined through the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, consulting with the California Department of Public Health prior to either accepting or rejecting a waiver application. At this time, it is not our recommendation that we apply for a waiver, and as a district, I am not intending to apply to participate in the school waiver program for grades TK to 2. Again, this is an option, but it is not a recommendation. Our recommendation, again, is to remain in all virtual classroom learning through our winter break with the few ideas and exceptions that we had regarding one-to-one assessments, looking at athletics and community recreation programs, as well as senior seminar. and preparing then for an opening in January 2021. Always the caveat, there's a potential for change. This is constantly moving and constantly changing. Our current situation continues to be fluid, and many factors beyond our local control are at play as we go through this process. So thank you very much, and I'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
No questions? I know what it's like to be a virtual student now.
I have a comment. Dr. Mitchell, I think everybody appreciates knowing what kind of work you've been doing to get things ready. And I know the board has also had questions, as well as employees. And it's not an easy thing. And we can't just say tomorrow we're going to change it. So I think you were smart the way you went about it, that you know, we get to this point and a few days after that, there's going to be a break. But before that break, you know, if we're ready with the county to go back, we know how we're going to do it. And we've had a chance to also discuss it with the parents and the staff, so they're well aware of how we're going to do things. So thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, I think what's evident also after that presentation is how much of it is out of our control. We're really at the mercy of the public health department in LA County. And more are reactive. But what I appreciate is planning ahead for when that window opens, that we can go back, that we've already made preparation for that, being, anticipating that change coming, that we're able to plan for it. Any other comments, questions? Okay, thank you, Dr. Mitchell, for that. And next we'll go to public comment section. Are there any public comments, Dr. Mitchell?
There are. We do have public comments this evening. I believe that there are four.
Okay, so before we introduce the first one, let me just read this one note. The public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by a vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Ms. Ward, can you please call the first one?
Hello, once again, Mr. Roy Humphreys is our first person, can address the board.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, please go ahead.
Okay, the statements by the board, first of all, thank you for all the good things you do. Statements by the board members, Angelina Pride and board president, David Malcolm, in their comments of the September 23rd board meeting was a true reflection of the content and character of this board. Shakespeare in Hamlet asked, whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them. Yes, a day of reckoning approaches November 3rd, whereupon we will finally break the shackles and chains that have deprived us of our, for so long, our voting rights. This newfound freedom has come with a terrible price, and there is an equal responsibility that comes with that. A cultural change of this magnitude will not come easily and is a long-sustained affair. As Martin Luther King notes, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. And a tidal wave, a tsunami of red herrings will not hide what you have done. Thank you.
Our second speaker is Ms. Lita Hernandez. Ms. Lita, you're welcome to go.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Lita Hernandez, and I am also proud to be a Jellic Jaguar. Haha, I had to do that because they presented today. I'm Jellic's proud school office manager and the enthusiastic first VP for CSEA. Today, I just wanted to take some time to thank our amazing classified members, from the nutrition staff passing meals out to our families, our custodians and building services staff, ensuring our schools are safe and clean, our numerous aides assisting students online, our office staff who have really shown some muscle this year, and so many more important and necessary job descriptions, too many to list. Thank you all. CSEA members work for the success of RUSD students, their families, and our communities. You work to serve, and we applaud you and thank you for all that you do. This year has been really trying physically, emotionally, and mentally. Schools could not have functioned as successfully as they are without you. We also wanted to make sure to express how grateful we are to have come to an agreement on both our COVID MOU and the 2019-2020 negotiations tentative agreement. And we just wanted to share that we look forward to working with the district in future negotiations in the coming years. We love RUSD and we love our students, and a strong ending to negotiations is just one of the many ways that that allows our members to feel that love back. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
Thank you, Ms. Hernandez. Our next speaker is Mr. William Harrison. Mr. Harrison, you're ready to go?
So you need to unmute, Mr. Harrison.
Thank you so much. I'd like to say congratulations to Dr. Despard. I've worked with him for about 8 years. He's an outstanding choice. He's a very good man, and I'm sure he'd do a super job. I would also say I had an outstanding meeting with Dr. Zamora and other members of the Roland District Office. It went very well, very productive, and I know that we're going to move the schools forward. That being said, we have to move forward because we have outstanding administrators. We have the state-of-the-art schools. We have super teachers. We have outstanding technology. I don't see how we can miss this year. I'm looking forward to the district doing quite well this school year. If not, then I feel someone or some people should be held accountable, because all the entities we need for a successful year is in place. So I'm hoping indeed that we have a very successful year. I have to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm very happy that Classified now has a contract. That was going to be one of my issues I spoke on, but I don't need to speak on it because it's happening. I did get a chance to speak to Mr. Humphreys, and I did convince him, or I told him, that when you use words like ghetto, that refers, it's very hurtful to Black people and to Jewish people who were forced into ghettos. And he assured me that he was not going to use that term anymore. The same goes with the three monkeys. For years, white America had equated primates with Black people. So when you say anything about monkeys in front of someone Black, you're actually saying that you're associating them with primates. And I brought it to Mr. Humphrey's attention, and he assured me that he was sorry, he didn't mean any harm, and he's no longer going to use those terms. So that being said, I think that we can have a harmonious relationship between the district, Mr. Humphreys, and myself. I'm hoping, again, the district goes forward and we should have a lot of progress this school year. Again, if not, superintendent, principals, teachers, parents, students should be held accountable. Thank you ever so much, and have a nice evening.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison. Our last speaker for tonight is Ms. Amy Urbian.
Good evening, President Malkin, School Board, Dr. Mitchell, and Cabinet. I want to thank Ms. Freeman for visiting classrooms. I believe it was yesterday, as I saw on her Twitter, and I had the pleasure to read her tweets. as she was experiencing the virtual classrooms, and it looked like she had a great time. Our students and educators are in their routines now. Relationships have been created with this, with everybody, including the parents, or as we heard tonight, the grandparents who are sitting there with our students. I haven't had the honor yet to visit the classes, but I've been meeting with members who tell me their stories, which are always good to hear. One of our speech language pathologists says she's enjoying teaching virtually and that the services she's providing is working in the setting. She proclaimed herself to be a Luddite, and for whatever reason, the virtual learning is working for her students. She's able to spend more time with her kids because she's not having to go to a class, get a student, bring the kid back, and then go to another class. She is truly enjoying this. Our elementary teachers are working hard, but when it's break time or lunch, they leave their Zooms on. They turn off their microphones and they can hear the kids have conversations. Students are asking what they're having for lunch, things that they like, sharing stories about their video games, their pets, and their families. Our elementary educators will keep their Zooms open from 8 a.m. to at least 2 p.m. every single day while they're doing whole group, small group, and supporting students when they need help. Our secondary educators have been engaging our students with lessons where students are working in small groups and using breakout rooms. Students are given choices and teachers are always there to help guide them as they work on math problems, annotate documents, or just have small group discussions. Some of our high school teachers have figured out a way how they can be in multiple breakout rooms at one time. I finally just learned myself how to do a breakout room. So kudos to those teachers who have figured this whole multiple breakout room at one time out. It's way beyond my Zoom skills. On an entirely different note, I've been here multiple times speaking on Prop 15 and at the last school board meeting, some members have expressed interest in phone banking. I'll be sending that information to Dr. Mitchell about phone banking opportunities that we are having, and she can give that information to you. So thank you again. And make sure that you do go out and vote since our ballots have been mailed to us already. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Are there any more speakers, Ms. Ward?
That was our last speaker.
Okay, we'll now move on to our discussion items. Our first discussion item, action item that we have is resolution number AS2108. Issuance of 2020 refunding bonds. Can I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution AS2021-08, issuance of 2020 refunding bonds?
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, do we have any questions or discussion?
Time, I would like to turn this over to Alex Flores, and I know that we also have Mark Farrell that is here as well, just to provide an update to the board and to participate in that conversation. Flores?
Good evening, board. At the previous board meeting, we provided a presentation that had different analysis at the time of the potential savings for our community with this refund of the bond. We are uncertain times, and a lot of activity has taken place in the past few weeks and as we move into selection in November. So I've asked Mark to come and to provide an analysis at this time and what ranges of potential savings we could have with this bond refund at this time. Mark?
Great. Thank you, Mr. Flores. Good evening, President Malkin, trustees, and Dr. Mitchell. So kind of give a quick update on you know, where we are in terms of the potential savings for the refunding. I would say the markets had been very, very stable, really, you know, from the time we last met and up until just over about a week ago. Interest rates kind of started to rise a little bit after the presidential debate on September 29th. And then with the president contracting COVID and then subsequently going to Walter Reed, we saw interest rates, you know, jump up again last week. And so we've seen interest rates rise, you know, probably somewhere around 0.2%, maybe as much as 0.25% compared to where we were about a month ago. The savings, you know, interest rates are still very low. The savings right now are still very good. Or about $9 million in savings to taxpayers. We were, you know, a month ago and even really just over a week and a half ago, still at that, you know, $10.9 million range that we talked about at the last meeting. So again, overall, very strong level of savings for the community. And I would probably maybe put that range, you know, of potential savings, you know, high end of the range would be kind of that about $11 million in savings that we had talked about. The low end of the range, I would say, would be maybe $7 million. If it kind of gets into that range, I think we would have a discussion of whether does it make sense to move forward at this time, or do we, you know, pull back and wait and see what happens with the market over the next, you know, next few weeks, even months. Because again, we're exercising an option to do this refunding now. We could potentially delay this for, you know, for several months or even a year if we needed to kind of get back to a level of savings that we think makes sense to take advantage of that option now. But again, like I say, where we are today, $9 million in savings, it's one of the metrics we look at is present value savings, 15% present value savings. So well into the double digits. Once we're above 5%, we'd start considering it. So again, I think, good savings, but did want to let the board know. We did see a little bit of a jump up in interest rates this past week. Fingers crossed, things start to stabilize a little bit and those rates trend back the other direction. As of right now, the schedule is to go to market on October 22nd. So that would be the date that we could lock in the rates. And we'll try to, push that up potentially if we can, if we see that there's an opportunity. Interest rates drop on a particular date, we'll try to see if we can get into the market a little bit earlier. Really everything is kind of ready to go. The district did get its rating affirmed by Moody's. The AA2 rating was affirmed by Moody's. Again, excellent credit rating. And that definitely helps when things start getting a little bit volatile in the market. Having such a high credit rating helps you stand out from other school districts, other municipal bond issuers that might have a little bit lower credit rating. So investors are more comfortable buying Roland Unified bonds than they might be from, you know, even a neighboring district in LA County that has a lower credit rating. So that'll definitely be helpful, especially if volatility kind of continues for these next 2 weeks. Happy to answer any questions that the board has.
Ms. Ebbinghead?
I just have one question. You said your goal is to aim for October 22nd. If we were able to really start moving on that date, would that lock the interest rate in, or might it still change between after that
time? Yeah, so if we're able to go to market on October 22nd, we would lock in the rates and they would be set on that date.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chen?
Yeah, interest rate is very, very sensitive because the small change, we end up a big difference to a total amount we pay. Is that an option for us to buy down the interest rate, to pay a certain amount of the money? We can buy down the interest rate because for long term, it's still a big savings, just like a home mortgage. We have option to buy down. Is this optional?
No, there's not really an option like you'd have on a home mortgage to pay a point on a home mortgage to buy down the interest rate. So that doesn't really exist in the municipal bond market.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I just want to thank Mr. Flores and his staff for bringing this to our attention and getting it on the agenda, because it is a very positive move for the people that live in the community, because it will be reflected on your property tax bill and it will be a savings. So thank you, Mr. Flores, and your staff for bringing this up and getting it on the agenda. Okay, with there's no other questions, we'll do a roll call on this. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbinghead?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me. So the motion carries 5-0. for resolution AS-2021-08. Thank you. The next item I'm really excited about. It's notice of completion, installation of DSA approved heating, ventilation, and air conditioning units, multi-purpose rooms, and gymnasium projects. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the motion, the notice of completion of installation of DSA approved HVAC units and the various locations by Climatic LLC?
I move.
I'll second.
We have a first and a second. Discussions, questions? Let me first, Mr. Flores, do you want to just make a brief statement about this and then we'll have questions?
Sure. We're really excited about bringing this forward today with the completion. We know there was a very big interest of the Board of Trustees and Dr. Mitchell to provide air conditioning to our gymnasiums. And we have the opportunity with the Prop 39 to be able to actually finish all the schools throughout the entire district of the MPRs. So all MPRs have air conditioning now. And that was with the addition of Santana, Alvarado, Blanford, Hurley, Northam, and Roland Elementary. Really happy to say that all of our MPRs and our gymnasiums have air conditioning throughout the entire district. And we were able to accomplish, I know, a goal that the board had for this to happen.
Can you just explain what an MPR is?
It's the multi-purpose room where our students eat, and it's also where they conduct assemblies, and their parents come and meet. So it's the central focal point of a school where major activities take place.
And Ms. Friedman, you have a comment?
Yes, I'm with you, David. I'm very excited about this. I was hoping for this to happen. All of us have experienced in the gymnasiums at the high school for graduation. Everyone is sweating. And so I'm hoping by June, maybe we could have a real graduation and our seniors will not be sweating. So thank you, Alex and team, for letting this happen. It's something that the schools really needed, and I'm really happy that it's going to pass today.
Any other questions, comments? Yes, Ms. Evenkamp?
I remember Ms. Pride and her bingos.
Oh, yeah. I remember
going
those
on in that gym when it was so hot. We had fans every place, and some people wouldn't come because it was so hot. So it was a little embarrassing sometimes to go to different activities, and the kids would just be dying, and the parents would be dying. So this makes my heart sing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the bingos, and I went there. It was hot in there, and it was there because it was so hot. But I also went to an activity in Roland Elementary about a year and a half ago in their MPR room. It must have been 110 degrees in that room. So I'll appreciate it just as much as the students and the faculty and the parents, I tell you. So thank you very much for this. This enhanced the schools all throughout the district. Ms. Friedman?
I wanted to just add the elementary school, since you mentioned that, when we go to the winter programs and all the different programs that the schools have, and it's packed with parents, and it would be so hot. And so now parents and families and communities can be comfortable.
Yes.
And I just wanted to add that with the big fans that we have in a lot of those rooms, the combination of that with the air conditioner, that air will live in those rooms and keep things at a comfortable temperature.
Okay, any more discussion, action? Okay, we'll take a vote on this then, a roll call to accept the completion. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Evenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries. Okay. Next is the consent calendar. We will approve all the items in the consent calendar with the exception of any items that were pulled separate or separate discussion and action, and there was no items pulled. So kind of a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar.
I'll move.
And a second. Second. Okay, I have a move and a second. And I just repeat something here. Can I take a roll call on this? Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
That's aye for me, so motion carries to approve the consent calendar. And so the next item I go to here is, can I have a, we have go to comments. I'm trying to find my page now. 1 second, hold tight here.
You're doing great, David.
I got distracted by a text message. Okay, next we'll receive comments from the board. We'll start off with Mr. Chen this evening.
Oh, for me? Okay. All right. Okay, the first I want to congratulate Dr. Kevin Desmar for his promotion, and I've seen him join the district. First he was a principal and become a director, and I think good job, and now we promote him to be a director for human resources, and I have very confidence for him to handle the job, for doing a good job. So congratulations, Kevin. And classroom visit for the past couple of days, I visited quite many classrooms online, virtual classrooms. And I observe it's not an easy job. And I think that our virtual classroom is pretty successful. The number one I observed is the attendance, and all rooms have pretty good attendances. The kids are there and all well behave. Without the strong support from the school, in technology or preparation, the teacher's preparation, and also the strong support from the parents, because I understand at this time, there are many parents need to work. And as we earlier mentioned, grandpa, grandmas are staying home, supervise the kids. And they are doing very good job for keeping the kids in the classroom and well behaved, and the teachers too. But I still hoping we can return to campus as soon as possible. So kids, they need to play with other kids. So we are still looking forward to returning to the campus. And the JQuest never quit. Yeah, I enjoyed the presentation today. The principal, John, and the teachers and the students share with their activities and the information of the school. And we have very little chance to visit the school, but we can learn more from the presentation. So very good. I would say thank you. And that's it. Have a good day.
Hey, Ms. Ebbenkamp.
I thought I was muted. Thank you very much, David. I really appreciated the JELLIC presentation today. It was a good combination. It involved the kids, and it was nice to hear and to see what they're doing with our with IT and how they're using it in the school. The next thing is I did spend some time with the elementary kids, especially the young ones, observing the classrooms. Something that stood out to me, because it's just creative how the teachers are using the programs that they have, that, you know, whatever they can. And the kids did an activity, and then they had a reward system, and the simple game, paper, rock, and scissors. The kids all stood up and they're doing paper, rock, and scissors with the video. And they would, the video would decide what the winning thing was. So if it was scissors winning, anybody who had scissors only had to jog in place for 20 seconds. If you lost, you had to do jumping jacks for 30 seconds. So everybody did some kind of exercise, whether they won or lost. And it did my heart good because I know the kids are sitting for a long time, even though they get frequent breaks. They're getting a chance to exercise and move around. And I think this isolation for these kids is probably the worst thing for them. So for them to work some of the stuff out, I was real pleased to see that that's living and alive and well in our classes. I want to thank Dr. Mitchell and her staff for including the parents in the IT and teaching them about technology, because they're the ones that have to work with their children and giving them a chance to learn. And then to taking it one step further to help the grandparents, because a lot of grandparents are babysitting for kids. And the more they know, the better it is for their grandchildren. And the fact that we're using retired employees to teach the, what they call it, go-go grandparents, I think that's a fabulous idea and very good planning. Elections are coming up on November the 3rd. We have two of our districts are up for the first time. We have District 2 and District 4. I want to wish all the candidates the best of luck and hope they're working hard and getting the word out about themselves and what good they will do for Roland Unified. The other thing is I'm going to pat the board on the back just a little bit, because I talk to people who work in a lot of districts, and they're just sick because a lot of them have had a lot of layoffs, because they just didn't have the money to carry them through and to keep paying the salaries and finding something for everybody to do. So even though the board right now isn't in the best of, it isn't in your great graces because we've just gone through negotiations and that's always tough, I still say I am pleased that we've been able to hold this district together. We've been able to keep all our employees so far, and I hope we'll be able to get through this COVID problem and have a real successful future. I'm glad we were able to get the contracts settled, and hopefully the votes will prove that's good for all the employees too. I'm sorry, I'm going by my notes. Oh, the other thing is, I think it was Lita that gave the report from CSEA today. And I really enjoy the reports that are coming through from CSEA to the board, because you're highlighting different departments. You're telling what the different departments are in your union, and you're really pointing it out for the people that are listening in to these podcasts. So thank you for doing that, Lita. I enjoyed it again today as I did last month. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Evenkamp. I think I might be taking that class that Brandy will be teaching in addition to the parents. Yeah. I am a senior grandparent, I can be.
Maybe we could get that going for the senior pathfinders too.
Yeah, I think so. I need the class after tonight, I tell you. Okay, we'll go next with Donna, Ms. Friedman.
Okay, thank you. I want to say congratulations to Dr. Kevin Despard for our new HR director. I know he'll do a terrific job. And then the Jellick presentation was wonderful. Thank you, John Stalmont team. It was really good to know. And I really miss the three high school representatives. I'm so happy they came and talked about their schools and what's going on. I really enjoyed that. I have missed them. Okay, the events that I have attended virtually were wonderful and would like to talk about each one. So this will be my longest comment, so I'm sorry about that. Okay, first is the Family Science Night with the Science Center was great. Mrs. Deb Krieger and Mrs. Lopez did a great job with 82 participants. They answered questions through chat. There was a video about microscopes and at the Science Center, and there were translators. They did a science project with all the families. Nogales High School Virtual Honors Awards, he was just talking about that. Awards were given for perfect attendance and outstanding academic success, honor roll, high honor roll, and principal's honor roll, as well as reclassification, students becoming RFEPs. Names were listed in each category, and there was a short video clip of a student receiving the award in that category. The Wellbeing Wednesdays with the Family Resource Center, I attended last night, and there was so much information given out. Subjects were mindful breathing, about relaxing, healthy lifestyle tips, agenda, burnout, sleep, anger, and community resources and events. Translators were present too. Outstanding. Excellent job, Miriam and team. I visited many classrooms virtually. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed visiting them. There were 20 to over 30 participants in each classroom. I observed fantastic teaching and learning in every classroom. It would take hours to say all I saw, really, because I took lots of notes, but do want to mention a little of what I saw in each classroom. Before I do, I want to thank the teachers for volunteering to let us come and watch them teach virtually. It is amazing what these teachers can do in only 10 minutes. Okay, first, in alphabetical order, Blanford. I was in Ms. Rena's fifth grade class, and I observed the teacher with a poster discussing patterns with fractions. 13 people used the chat. Then she put students in breakout rooms. She made me a co-host so I could go in one of the breakout rooms, first time ever. The four students were in there. One student was explaining how he found the pattern. Then when he was done, he said, "I am done sharing," and the next student shared. In Mrs. Ashley's kindergarten class, they did number talk, where students were sharing different ways to get the number 41. Then they proved how they got it. Amazing in kindergarten to do that. Angelic, Miss Chow Su, second grade, she went over what they did yesterday, taking notes on post-its about what they read. She role modeled for the next chapter, which the students did next. At Killian, Miss Abe's first grade class, I observed a math lesson where she could see all their whiteboards. Students could write the equation, draw the equation, and explain the answer for everyone on the screen to see. I have no idea how they could do that. The students were drawing and you could actually see what they were doing. Mrs. Schimmel's fifth grade class, this lesson was on inferencing, and students wrote down their inference in chat, and the teacher shared some with the class. They saw a video on inferencing, and students shared their inference. At Northam, Ms. Arceli Gamboa kindergarten class was working on complete sentences. The teacher gave lots of positive feedback, and then students were put in groups, and she stayed with one group. This group worked with her on saying each letter, the name of the picture, and sound. Mrs. Galindo, sixth grade, was writing a lesson and showed a video. Students were assigned to share their writing by sending it to the teacher. And Ms. Vasquez in fourth grade, it was a reading lesson. While the teacher read, she stopped for students to jot down notes what they were feeling. Students shared what they wrote. And Ms. Gokan, a first grade, students were sharing what they wrote in their journal, which were facts about sharks. Students also shared their drawings and what they wrote on the screen. Then they had a minute break for the restroom and to get something read. Students brought back many different things that were read, one a lava lamp. When they came back, they did some exercises with their hands, like touch your head, elbows. Mrs. Martinez in third grade did a lesson on folktales, talked about Hispanic month, discussed what they are, and showed a video on the lion and the mouse. At Oswald, Ms. Lamb, second grade, an estimating lesson with kazoos in a glass. Students shared their estimate with their class and reasons why. Then the teacher provided clues and then crossed off the numbers that the answers could not be. Students could change their guess. At Roramore, Mrs. Ramos, third grade dual language class, Spanish Writers Workshop, she shared stories that students wrote. Students were going to write an informational book on their own using contents and glossary. Amazing. Mrs. Santizo, kindergarten class, Writers Workshop, students were working on making books and drawing pictures on three pages. They looked around their house for something they know a lot about and would write about that. Roland Elementary, Mrs. Kali Gamboa's third grade, they were working on summarizing a book they finished reading. The teacher would write down a sentence next to four captions, somebody, wanted, but, and so. Students copied the sentence after discussion. Mrs. Perel's fourth and fifth grade class, they were talking about reading a book with expression, act out with body language, use voice and facial expression. The teacher read a section in the book with no feelings, then took suggestions from her students and read it again. Mrs. McGrath, kindergarten class, set up for writing. The song was playing at the beginning, then ready for writer's workshop. They sang a song. She told a student, "Yes, I texted your mom this morning." She had a clipboard
to check off when she saw students writing, then asked students what they were writing about. Mrs. Tracy Delagata, sixth grade, math lesson, 3 triangles = 30. Students went to breakout rooms and came back to share their answers, but how to explain their thinking of how they got their answer. At Shellen, Mrs. Rokel's fifth grade, I observed students working on expository text, which was on Ruth Ginsburg from Time Magazine. She put the quiz on Google Docs. Ms. Vong, in third grade, students were having a celebration for completing their second story using the writing process twice. I was put in a group with 4 students. The students shared their stories on the screen, and as they read, they corrected their spelling or an extra word. There were at least 3 long paragraphs written by each student. When the facilitator asked a student to give a compliment, she didn't say anything. So a different student said, "Did you forget what compliment means?" He took out a post-it note and read what it said. The compliments were fantastic. I even was able to compliment too. Great writing. At Telesis, Mrs. Barcinas, third grade, she was reading a book to all her students. She asked for fun facts. Then before Reader's Workshop began, they all got up and stretched to head, shoulders, knees, and toes, going faster each time. She role modeled a page in the book with her thinking and then had students do it on their own. Mr. Gass in seventh grade science, he had a lesson on evidence reasoning and what supports the claim. Slides for the students, and then they reviewed and discussed a Doritos commercial video. Mrs. Vega in fifth grade, it was book talk time. She had students review a book. They read and told the class about it, which included that they liked it, why they liked it, why they chose it, and the reason why they should read it. Ms. Kelly's eighth grade history class, they did a lesson on voting in California, where students shared their screen. Then the teacher conference with each one to make sure they were filling out the information correctly. Via Corda, Mrs. Latcher's TK class, students were studying black. She had a circle map with 6 black items. She moved the items to the circle map on her screen so everyone could see. Then students learned a song about black. Lastly, they were able to walk around the house and come back with a black item to share what they found. And in Ms. Ruda's 4-5 math lesson on inverse operations using quadrants, students shared what they noticed about these 4 different equations, and the teacher wrote them down on the screen for all to see. If you want more information, check out my Twitter account, Donna F for Kids. And I felt it was very important to mention all that our teachers are doing. They are doing a fantastic job, and our students are learning in the virtual setting. It's just amazing what I saw. It's like it was regular classrooms. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Friedman. And this came to my attention that I skipped over Ms. Pride. So we're going to go back to Ms. Pride. Then afterwards, Donna, could you give that report again for us?
Oh, you're funny.
Okay, Ms. Pride, I'm sorry for this dropping over you.
No problem. So I would like to thank Anna Holly Tortola for leading us in the pledge. I love that the students have the opportunity to come on and do that. You did a really good job, young lady. Thank you to the Jellic Jaguars for the great school report. I love how the library, chess club, esports, and other events are working hard to keep the students connected during this crazy time. I was excited to see the student reports resume from the high school. Great job to the student leaders. My one request is that they all be on camera, whether it's pre-filmed or live at the meeting, because I did miss seeing their faces. So I was so happy to see a couple of their faces tonight, and hopefully next meeting we'll see all of their beautiful faces. I would also like to thank our nutrition services for continuing to make sure that our students have access to nutritious food. I also would like to take this opportunity to say on the record that I appreciate every RUSD employee that has stepped up to the plate to ensure that our district will continue to serve our students effectively and safely. Your work at every level is appreciated. I am very pleased that we will have so many polling centers in our district this year. This was one of the things that I was requesting, and I'm glad that we were able to work with the county to make that happen. The last part of my board comments, I am adjusting. because of comments made by Mr. Harrison earlier this evening, and I hope that he's still on. I want to thank Mr. Harrison for his comments and for taking the time to try and educate a community member about how offensive their comments are and hurtful as also to not just myself, but to others and to the students and to other community members as well. I really appreciate, Mr. Harrison, you taking the time to do that, especially since he had falsely stated that you were okay with his comments. So thank you so much for reaching out and addressing that issue. Again, I really appreciate it. I would also like to take a moment to say thank you to the following community members for standing up for social justice and against bigotry and prejudice this week, and they'll know what I'm talking about. I apologize if I mess up any of your names. Devin Tan, Kevin Hayakawa, John Davidson, Angel Bam Bam Morales, Angela Gonzalez, Natalie Moreno, Pam DeLeon, Moon Willow Jackie, Soshi Castro Quilar, Iva Chin, Mackenzie Cosgrove, John Widmore, Kelly Denahan, Brent Kroger, Michelle Liu, Diana Thomas, Jeremy Gallen, Anthony De La Rosa, and John Perels. Perels or Perellis. And again, I apologize if I ruined your name. I would also like to mention that the majority of these individuals I just thanked are current or former members of RUSD. And I think that by letting their voices be heard this past week, they prove that character counts. And in just to close on a Martin Luther King quote, Martin Luther King said, an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. Thank you all and have a great rest of your month.
Thank you, Ms. Pride. I too want to thank Mr. Harrison for his comments tonight. It was kind of a prelude to what I'm going to do tonight. The individuals that Ms. Pride mentioned, they all responded to a posting that was originally was about me. And I really appreciated them stepping forward to respond to that posting. I never responded to it, but it caused me to do a lot of thinking and soul searching. And as a result, my comments tonight are generated because of that series of items that those people responded to. And if you watched the Jellic presentation tonight, you'll notice on the bookcase, it said on the top where the books were, no bullying section. And last month we passed a resolution about anti-bullying because October is the no bullying month. And so I feel that since those people stepped up to protect me in the community, I need to step up and join with them. So this is a little bit lengthy tonight, but please be patient. Every October, students, schools, and communities go blue, which is why I'm wearing blue tonight, throughout the world enjoying Stomp Out Bullying and observing National Bullying Prevention Month. The goal, encourage schools, communities, and organizations to work together to stop bullying and cyberbullying and put an end to hatred and racism by increasing awareness of the prevalence and impact of all forms of bullying has on children and adults of all ages. Bullying used to take place in the playground or when kids and adults were eye to eye. However, with widespread use of the internet, cyberbullying has become rampant, and I am going to address that tonight. Now you can be bullied without even knowing it. I personally had been a victim of this, as well as many community members and staff of Roland Unified. What is cyberbullying? Cyberbullying is bullying that takes place over the digital devices like cell phones, computers, and tablets. Cyberbullying can occur through text and in social media like Roland Buzz. Cyberbullying includes sending, posting, or sharing negative, harmful, false, and mean content about someone else. It can include sharing personal or private information about someone, even causing embarrassment or humiliation. Some cyberbullying crosses the line into unlawful or criminal behavior. Are any of you aware of this happening in our community, especially on Roland Buzz? This leads me to a subgroup of cyberbullying called the haters. What is a hater? Hater is a label used to refer to people who use negative and critical comments and behavior to bring another person down by making them look or feel bad. These hateful and negative comments can be delivered in person, online, or in text. Often the comments and behavior are repeated over and over and over. Often haters pick on people, groups, or communities where they are perceived as inferior to themselves, as having different opinions and thoughts from themselves, and lack the respect to have a constructive conversation to reach a mutually acceptable resolution. Being the focus of negative and critical comments can be upsetting and can trigger feelings of anger, hurt, and confusion, and can cause the person being criticized to question their self-worth and behavior. If the negative comments are posted online, it can make someone be afraid to use social media accounts or feel ashamed of what is happening there. Many children, teens, and adults don't want to be a part of a negative behavior like name-calling, criticizing, bullying, cyberbullying. Dealing with haters isn't that different from dealing with bullying and cyberbullying. But how do you deal with haters on the internet and cyberbullying? First thing, and this might sound odd to many of you, be kind and respectful, even to haters. It shows that you are in control of your emotions and that you aren't letting negativity bring you down. Secondly, stick with supporters. Have a friend nearby if you think you might encounter a hater. Not only will it make it less likely that an incident might happen, but also means that you'll have a positive reinforcement to reinforce your self-worth. Thirdly, remind yourself that comments from a hater are reflections of them and aren't really about you. People who feel good about themselves don't need to be put down by others. Understand criticism can be a sign of pain. People sometimes lash out because they have other life struggles. Negative comments may have nothing to do with you. Acknowledge your feelings, talk to trusted adults or friends, and get some encouragement and support. Keep being yourself. Keep moving forward, pursuing your interests, being your own. Don't change. Join us in solidarity to stop bullying, including cyberbullying and haters. Make it a month that bullying prevention is heard around the world and in the Roland Heights community, in the Roland Heights community and the Roland Unified School District. Whether you wear your own blue shirt, you will be using your voice and sending a message that this month bullying prevention is heard. Let's change the culture in our schools and communities, just like Mr. Harrison did tonight. Thank you. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move.
Have a second?
I'll second.
Roll call, Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me. Motion carries. Meeting will be adjourned at 7:35. Thank you very much. And I see that we still have 39 people, or 29 now. People online. So thank you for attending our meeting, and we welcome you back at our next meeting. Bye-bye.
Good job, David.
Bye-bye.
Great job.